Do you want to go to check out the top of the lighthouse?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Welcome to Explore Everywhere podcast, where we explore the world through hiking trails, go and see some amazing places, and meet the people who love and protect them. This episode is brought to you by the Yankee. For anybody who hasn't heard of the Yankee, what it is it's a small clip that you clip on your belt, and it's retractable, so you can hear that it retracts and flips back in, kind of like you can get keychains and stuff that do that. But then it has a little clip on it, and it's attached to, it's a small cloth, which is made of a nice soft fiber. I can't remember what the fibers are, but you can look on the website. But what it's for is you hook it on your belt. If you're going out and doing any strenuous hiking, and like me, I don't like wearing a headband or anything on my head. It drives me crazy when I do. So when I sweat on the trail and sweat starts dripping in my eyes, this is great to just grab it. It's on your belt. Grab it, wipe off your brow, get rid of the sweat, and then it retracts. Just let it go and it retracts back to your belt. The other great thing about it is because of that clasp on the little attachment that you can pull off the cloth part, and you just throw it in the wash machine when you get home and wash it just like with your regular laundry. So it's great for that. I've also used it for cleaning my camera lens when it's damp out, or I'm getting water on my lens around a waterfall. Pull it out when you need it and let it go when you don't. If you're looking for a Yankee, they're available in different colors and patterns. Hopefully I'll get some New Brunswick pattern ones in again soon. The one I'm holding now has actually the Yankee logo on it, but there's different colors. So check it out on the exploreeverywheremedia.com website, or go to the Hiking MB website and click on any of the store links. This episode is brought to you by the Trail Wrap. What the Trail Wrap is, it's a wide band of material that's absorbent material, and first and foremost, it's used as a headband. It can be used as a face mask, which is important during the pandemic. It can be used as a scarf, a hair tie, bandana, foulard. I have no idea what that is, but I guess you can use it for that. It says all in the packaging what it can be used for. Balaclava, a beanie, Saharian. I have no idea what that is either. A pirate. Wristband, and more. So there's all kinds of different ways you can use it. What it is a quick drying material. What I like most about them is that they're branded to different provincial maps. The one I'm holding is actually a map of Nova Scotia. I've got PEI maps available. I think I've got another pattern that has more trees on it and stuff. I've got Canada versions if you want to represent Canada. But they're a great little addition to your bag if you want to keep the sweat out of your eyes while you're hiking, or any of those other uses that I mentioned. So if you want to pick one of those up, you can go to the exploreeverywheremedia.com website, or you can go to the Hiking MB website and go to any of the store links and look for it under the other section.
Welcome to episode 19 of the Explore Everywhere podcast. Coming to you from the banks of the beautiful St. John River, just below Nakwik. It's a beautiful morning. The mist is just rising off the water. It's I think it's October 5th. Fall colors, actually looking across the river, a lot of them are beyond peak. There's a few trees that are still at peak. Hard to believe that fall snuck up on us. It's not gone yet. There's still a few more weeks of amazing hiking, no flies, great time of year to hike. I don't think that crow's gonna stop making noise. But what a beautiful day. Great day. Like I said, the mist off the water. When I came down in the water, I scared a kingfisher. Tried to take a picture, but didn't get a good picture of him. I know I didn't. I might just sit here after I'm done recording this and watch the world go by. There's a seagull on a rock kind of sitting watching me. And of course, that angry crow. This week's podcast is kind of a long one. It's probably about an hour long interview plus hike that I did with Adam and Leah, who are the driving force behind the Split Rock Trail and Troy's Trail in Lorneville near St. John. And that joins up with Black Beach. If you haven't already, please consider making a donation. They have built the whole trail of Troy's Trail, Split Rock Trail. They're looking for money to do some land transfers and stuff to make sure it's protected for long term with Nature Conservancy of Canada, who owns Musquash Estuary Black Beach Trail and the Musquash Estuary Five Fathom Hole Trail. Lots of great stuff going on in that area, and those two are the ones that are driving that.
They have also taken over responsibility for the Musquash Lighthouse. So if you've ever hiked Let Rock Trail, then you know what the lighthouse. And it's in need of repairs. And lighthouses are not cheap to repair. They have a lot of special needs, being coastal and exposed. It's a pivotal point of that Split Rock Trail. Very important. If you haven't already, I'll have a link in the show notes for the podcast with the posts that I put out around the podcast. There's some other exciting stuff coming up, so stay tuned in the next week or so. It might be actually happen before this, but I might as well say it. There's a contest coming up, and it will be going through Thanksgiving weekend. I think it's coming out Wednesday or Thursday. I'm not sure when this podcast is going to come out around the same time. Look for the contest. It's a way to have a little bit of fun with donating to this amazing, awesome cause. And like you'll hear in the rest of the podcast, Adam and Leah are amazing. They have done so much for that area and the trails, and continue to do so much for that area and the trails. And you can hear the passion in their voice for it, which is great to see. Anything you can do to help, even if you just spread the word. Next is just how long it's been since I came out with the last podcast. It's probably been, I think, well over a month now that I've had episode 18 come out. The reason for that is it's been an extremely busy September. The back to school with COVID, that was busy, but we've had some big trips in there. Actually, our first one was we spent a weekend in PEI. Now, we went to PEI earlier in the summer with the kids, stayed around Cavendish, what we usually do. Sometimes we make it as far as Charlottetown, but this time we actually stayed on the North Cape Peninsula and explored the whole western side of the island. And it's an amazing spot over there. Lots of beach walks. The pinnacle is the Black Marsh Trail at the point, which is at the North Cape Lighthouse. It's a boardwalk it's coastal, but it's also a boardwalk that goes through a marsh there that's coastal too. That was cool for a trail standpoint, but we were surprised on our last day, and here comes the kingfisher. And he noticed me, and he's flying around me now. Oh, he is trying to get me away. Curious to see if he has a nest here or not. There's a bunch of ducks making their way down the shore too, so that should be interesting. I actually saw a cormorant fly by, so might be an interesting morning if I stop talking. I think the ducks don't care if I'm talking, they're coming. Anyways, that's a diversion. So our surprise with the PEI experience, the biggest surprise was on our last day leaving the island, we actually stopped at the West Cape, I think it's Cedar Dunes Provincial Park, West Cape Lighthouse. So if you've ever seen a big lighthouse it's actually the tallest on PEI, it's black and white striped, which is unique. We stopped by there, and what an amazing spot. We only had about half an hour to explore. We ended up going through, there's a museum that actually works its way up the lighthouse, and at the end of the museum is you're at the top of the lighthouse looking out over the beach, you're looking out over the bay, you're looking out over, it's an amazing spot. There's also some hiking trails that I gotta say aren't well maintained. It looks like they've been built about 30 years ago and kind of let go, and they keep two of the trails mowed now, so they're in good shape. And it's right from the corner of the parking lot that we left there, so there's some hiking trails. Like to go back and actually take a longer beach walk to see what it's kind of on a 90 degree angle of the beach right there on the corner, I guess the southwest corner of the island. But an amazing spot to explore. The other thing we want to do that we noticed is that it's an inn, and we would love to go back there and stay next time we go to that area. But we also want to go to the eastern end of the island, which we've never been to before, too, to explore. That was our explorations of PEI, so that took a weekend. I've been getting a chance to pick off a few of the trails that I've had on my list for a while. I guess most notably, I've had St. George Marsh Trail. There's a few trails around St. George that I've wanted to hike for a long time, but I could just never make happen. Hiked the St. George Marsh Trail. Got some good pictures, I think, of osprey landing on their nest. They're kind of fighting over something. Haven't posted any of that stuff yet, so I haven't even gone through the pictures of that. Also, the Boar's Head Nature Preserve in St. John. I've had that on my list for a long while. A really cool spot to explore right in the middle of the city. And feels completely wild once you're down in there and you get down to the shore. The other big adventure was last weekend. A friend of mine went up to Mount Carlton Park, and we hiked the Three Peaks. So we went up Sagamuck. Our plan was to stay at the Headwaters campground, but for some reason we weren't able to. They wouldn't let us. something was going on outside the park. I'm thinking it was some kind of fire. If anybody knows, let me know. But we couldn't stay at the headwaters, so we had to stay at the main campground. What we did, beat the crowds, because there's a lot of people there, and we got there at 10:30 in the morning. We went and climbed Sagamook instead. And even then, the parking lot was full. We had to park kind of off the side of the road. So we climbed Sagamook, crossed over the plateau to Mount Carlton Peak. And this friend of mine's never been to any of the peaks at Mount Carlton. He's been to the park before, but he's never climbed the mountains. So crossed over to Mount Carlton Peak. Then we came back, and on our way back, we just had enough time to go to Mount Head. And by the time we came down the mountain, it was just right to the point where if it was 5 more minutes, we would have had to get our headlamps out. So we were scared the rangers were going to come looking for us, because I have gone up Sagamook before, taken pictures of the sunset, and came down in the dark, and the rangers were starting up the trail. And there's an incident there about a month ago that makes them even more sensitive to that. So note to everyone, always bring a headlamp no matter how long you think you're going to be out hiking. Go and enjoy all these places next couple weeks. Basically, Thanksgiving weekend is the closure of most of the parks, so that's kind of the official end in my mind of the hiking season. I hate to see it come, and it hurts me, but there's still so much to explore before it starts to get wet and messy with snow. Probably got another month before that really happens. Get out there, enjoy not having flies, dress accordingly. There'll be some fall colors left for sure. Now, with the end of the official end of hiking season on Thanksgiving weekend, my plan now is to switch gears, which is always the case at this time of year. I switch gears a bit. I still try and get out as much as possible, but it kind of the traffic and the excitement around hiking drops off. So I've already started switching gears. That's kind of why the podcast is taking so long to get out to, is to doing work on the website. I have a lot of trails that I hiked this summer that are new to the website, and I mentioned a lot of them. I mentioned Boar's Head, I mentioned St. George Marsh, Williams Trail, Troy's Trail needs to be added. I'm going to add King's Landing. I have the Acadian Park, in Caracat added already. I'm kind of back and forth on whether to add these kind of trails, but they're great places to take a walk. There's a fee to go in, but the history and the exploration of the area, they're just great places to take a walk. That's why I add them to the website. But I've left King's Landing, and I haven't added it till now, so I'm going to be adding that. Then we had our Grand Manan trip this summer, so I've got a lot of trails from there. Beckagwimick Trail is new. Heartland Riverfront Trail, kind of an extension of that. We did the section of the Upper Salmon River on Fundy. The Buck Falls up north, Rainbow Falls. Also, I'm going to add Pabinot Falls as its own trail. I've had it as part of the Nipisiguit Trail for the past few years, and it deserves its own trail. It's got a trail down along the river there on the parking lot side. Dutch Point in Hampton. Riverside Trail and Shediac, which is kind of a newly renovated trail. Another little trail down that area is the old Skidook River Bridge. So number one on my list, actually, before I even get into updating and adding those new trails, is I've got some help out with translation for the website. So you'll see some French translation starting to pop up. So if you start seeing an FR in the menus, that means the translation has been done. Pretty much everything that I've got converted to the new format will be translated over the winter. So number one is I've got the translation about half done. Just got to start adding it to the site and linking it up. Then the plan after all that translation is uploaded, which will probably take in the spring or beyond, is to upload these new trails that I just talked about. And then after that, get into updating PEI, the 4 trails we did on the Western Shore. And I still have quite a few trails in Maine that I haven't updated on the Maine site yet. That's the plan for the winter. I wish I had more time to do all of this and could get it done sooner, but it takes a lot of time to do all these things. It'll be well in the spring before I get all that done. I'm usually more optimistic in what I'm going to get done than I actually get done. But that's the plan for the winter. Hopefully you all enjoy the content. Podcast is going to continue. I kind of flip back and forth because I'd like to get back into video quite heavily next year. And the podcast does take a bit of time, so it takes time away from video, but I'm going to work through that. Even over the next few months, the podcast is going to be more me talking, less interviews, but I love doing interviews with people. It was great to get out and meet some of these people that are key to the trails, the amazing trails around the province. So with that, I've rambled enough. It is time to... The crow has moved off in the distance. The ducks are actually multiplying. There's probably about 10 ducks here now. The kingfisher has them back. With that, we'll go to the interview, the lighthouse tour with Adam and Leah, and the hike that we did around Troy's Trail and the Black Beach Trail and all the great stuff they're doing, and please donate. Thank you.
I'm Adam Wilkins.
And I'm Leah Alexander, and we both live in Lorneville. I've lived in Lorneville my entire life.
I guess, as I said on before, I'm a come from aware, so I'm from Quispamsis, but through Leah, now we live in Lorneville.
Yeah. No, it's a nice spot.
Leah, about 6 years ago, started building Split Rock Trail with a hatchet and Cash, who's skulking around here, and just kind of eventually turned into looking after the lighthouse. So there was a community group. The DFO divested the lighthouse to community groups starting, I don't know, like 10, 15 years ago. They started doing this, and the Lorneville Lighthouse was in need of some attention, and DFO didn't want to really look after it, and if no one took it over, then they were going to
decommission it.
Yeah, they're going to decommission it, actually, and put up just a light pole, because it's still a working lighthouse.
Yeah.
So one of a local guy that was interested in the lighthouse in the area worked for DFO, so he and a couple others started a community group to take it over, and they had an agreement that they'd take it over, and an agreement with the government that the land that came with it, after 10 years, they would donate the land to Nature Conservancy. And this was all in place, and then very shortly after, Pat got transferred out west, and just everything just kind of fell apart, just because he was kind of the, I don't know, like the head of the group, and the other two or three people that were involved with him were, you know, into it, but not as much as he was, and he was kind of the ringleader. Plus, he also worked for DFO, so had a, you know, bigger vested knowledge of things.
Yeah,
and so it just kind of fell by the wayside.
So when I started building Split Rock Trail, the lighthouse definitely wasn't like my main priority. My priority was to decrease illegal dumping and just to, you know, open up the coastline for people to be able to see how absolutely stunning it is. And with that, to decrease illegal dumping, I kind of have the perspective that in order to have someone want to protect an area, they have to respect the area. And usually in order to respect the area, they have to see something positive in it. So open up this coastline so they can see this absolutely stunning view. They're going to start respecting it and then hopefully start protecting it. That's kind of like been my
Because my experience plan is the flip side. When there's a dump there, people tend to think, oh, there's a dump there, I can dump it. Like, it's no big deal. Everybody else is doing it, kind of thing.
Yeah. So, and there were several dumping sites down here, so everyone thought that that was accepted and okay.
So it was more than just the entrance of the trail.
Like the parking lot to Split Rock, that used to be a huge dumping site.
Yeah, I remember that when it was being cleaned up.
Yeah, and then there's a little parking lot out here at the end of the Lighthouse Road that is still an issue sometimes. And Black Beach itself has always been an issue, like for years. Like, I remember going down there when I was a little kid and there being like mattresses and like...
Oh, just, really?
Yeah. And spring is always a bad time because people do the spring cleaning and like you get big pieces of garbage. And we have decreased the illegal dumping here. Like, sites have moved. Like, the Birchall Road has always been a problem site, although I do feel like it's gotten better with the ATV clubs out there.
Is that basically the Birchall Road on the other side that goes across?
Yeah, it would go to the highway. Yeah,
it goes all the way to the
highway. Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
It's right before we get to Colson Cove. Like, there's a fence that kind of runs along, and there was a road that goes up there.
Yeah, and so the ATV club has been using that road, and that, I feel like, has decreased the dumping there. Because the thing is, you have eyes on an area. You get stewards in the area. There's like, if you're worried
somebody's gonna pop out of the woods, you're
You're not gonna drive down here with an old mattress and a TV if you know that there's gonna be 15 cars in the parking lot and people coming and going constantly. So it does really help, and we've seen a big decrease in the last 5 years.
More people in an area doing good things takes away from the bad. Like the people that want to go dump or do other things, they're just probably a little more hesitant to do that.
Yeah.
It's more people in the area.
So then obviously the lighthouse is the destination and the focal point of Split Rock Trail and Troy's Trail. So Paula Noel from NCC was approached by Department of Fisheries and Oceans probably about 2 years ago, kind of saying, this is what the structure of the lighthouse looks like. This is kind of the direction we're going, where it really needs some attention. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't get any attention, then eventually it's going to, for safety purposes, it's going to need to be taken down.
Yeah.
And they would put up, it is still a functioning lighthouse, so they would put up some kind of a light pole or some other kind of, like, just get rid of the actual structure.
Which are ugly, but...
Yeah. So then, like, that made me kind of, like, sad, because I could just not imagine these trails without the lighthouse, because that is, like I said, that is the focal point of this point. And
you can a couple of the turns in the trail, you can see it. I mean, that's your it's kind of like your goal. It's like you're hiking on a mountain, and the goal is the summit.
When you first start seeing it, it's like it just kind of peeks out of the trees every once in a while. You're like, oh,
so I was like, okay, well, something needs to be done about this. And so Paula, they had kind of reached out to us because they knew that we were, you know, doing things in the community and had worked on the trails, and they reached out to us and kind of nudged us in the direction of taking over this community group, which we've done. So we've taken over that community group with permission of all the members that were in it originally. So we had to work very quickly, and it was a struggle with COVID and everything that's been happening. Right now there's three of us, me, Adam, and Cecil McCaver, who's lived in Lorneville his whole life, and his family has for like four generations. So we've taken it over for now with the intentions that maybe after COVID settles down to hold some community meetings and bring on some people, you know, who have different experiences and, you know, different things that will be helpful to the group. And we've already been approached by, you know, four or five people in the community that want to be a part of this. When we started, it was just like, let's just put the three of us on it, get it done, get it, like, you know, taken over so that we can start moving forward. And then
part of the reason that there was a bigger rush for it, because we looked at taking it over a year and a half, 2 years ago, and then we bought a house in Lorneville and kind of got busy with our own thing. But then we had a local, Kevin Barrio, and Barrio Builders approached Paula, right?
And Roy Proctor.
Yeah, Roy Proctor, who has a bunch of land over in Gooseberry Cove area. And he's donated to NCC, and him and Kevin worked together, and they wanted to see the lighthouse restored and fixed up and painted. So they kind of spurred things on by saying, we'd like to make a donation to this project. So they donated their contracting services and their staff without us really knowing at the time that they wanted to do this. And then there were some other things kind of happening, and some other people in the community that wanted to do things about it, and that didn't completely work out. But they wanted to help out with that, and it was just too big an offer to wait till we had everything sorted out. So we moved on the committee, and that really spurred us on to get the committee sorted out and resurrect it from the 10-year dormancy that it was in.
And then there's also like a time constraint to this project, because you can only do this work a certain time of year, and now like we're approaching fall.
Yeah.
So it's like the weather's going to get worse, the winds are going to get worse. It needs to get done. You know, they can't put the lift up if it's super windy and stormy here, and obviously they can't paint if it's raining or foggy. So that kind of really shortens the days that they can paint and do work.
And the epoxy paint has to be put on when it's above 10 degrees and kind of stay above 10 degrees and cure above 10 degrees. So it's
but probably not 35 degrees. Yeah, so it's, that we had this summer.
Yeah, so it was kind of like it all kind of worked out so far, not really. Like, we didn't plan this a year out to do like this. It just kind of everything worked out. And then Ready Rentals actually provided the lift as a donation. And that's been here for weeks now as they chip away on it when the weather's good and the wind and everything else is fine. So we've had a lot of donations in terms of, like, the contracting services and the staff and the lift and people's time to get things going. And then as was announced last week, the campaign was to basically working with NCC to cover the costs of the actual restoration, the materials for this, the land transfer. So we're going to be transferring 95 acres from the community group to Nature Conservancy.
So that's the original land. Yeah.
So there's 107
acres on this point. And like Adam said, the original plan was that the 12 acres surrounding the lighthouse would remain within the community group, and the 95 acres on the rest of the headland, so it's so many acres on this side of the road and so many acres on this side of the road, that's the Lighthouse Road, would be donated back to NCC. And there is a fairly large cost with that, because NCC is a nonprofit group and we are also a nonprofit group. Yeah. So they have to be able to pay their staff, it has to be surveyed, there's like lawyer fees involved, like there's a lot of fees involved, which sounds kind of crazy, but it's how it is. So
we didn't realize
any of this part. The amount that we're trying to raise is approximately $35,000. That's a big number, but it'll cover, and it would even be higher than that if we didn't have these people volunteering their time and efforts to do this.
The cost of the lift for basically a couple months alone was going to be a lot.
So the cost is to cover the lighthouse restoration. So all the works that have been done to the lighthouse, as well as all the materials that have been needed, the paint, the epoxy, everything that's been needed, the cement to patch things, all of that. The next set of the campaign is to cover the money for the land transfer.
And that's the goal of that, is to keep it conserved and preserved by Nature Conservancy.
Yeah. In, like, perpetuity, because it will always be preserved. And then the next section of that is any money left over, or not left over, but, you know, will be, now that NCC is going to own parts of these trails, mm-hmm. so they'll own part of Troy's Trail on that side and part of Split Rock Trail on this side, they will bring in a trail consultant just to hike the trails, you know, see if there's anything that needs to be changed, anything that they think is unsafe that we should change a little bit. I mean, we're not professional trail builders. Mm-hmm. I'm a registered nurse and Adam's a nurse practitioner. So, you know.
I like to think we do a pretty good job, but it didn't come in any of our education.
So it's just something we enjoy doing, but obviously we would love to have someone here that, like, you know, is a professional trail builder.
Like you say, where you go over the hill with the rope, where it's
eroding. Yeah, there's a couple spots. And some of those spots are spots that originally were quote-unquote safe spots, but we didn't anticipate the amount of traffic that they would get, and, you know, some erosion has happened and it's made it slippery and whatnot, so trail consultant will come in and kind of assess the trails and make suggestions, and so the money will go towards that, and as well towards some trail signs to help people with, you know, what direction they're going in. And we were talking earlier, I was mentioning some trail signs at the trailheads, as long as, you know, corresponding markers on the trails. Mm-hmm. So if someone was to get injured, they could say, I just passed this sign, and, like, emergency response team could come and say, oh, we know exactly where that person is.
So you'd have to meet with emergency response.
And we would definitely share those plans with them. And that's kind of the plan. And so that's what the money would go towards, is those three kind of projects all scooped into one.
One big, large campaign.
So
It's basically working with NCC and us and NB Power, too, because they're putting in signs, you know, saying to hike at your own risk on the portions that's on their property, and they might help with maps or things and on that section. So it's just kind of working with all the different groups in the area to basically improve the area and have the trails be good, and then also working on the Black Beach Trail, which is you know, the NCC trail, but so that it can have the, you know, all the trails can kind of be of a similar variety and maybe style of signage or something that we all work together, and then if there are any future trails, we can all kind of work on that too. So it's kind of a larger campaign to save the lighthouse and the whole area and improve access and safe access. So it's a big deal, actually. It's a lot going on.
It's bringing a lot together.
It is. And, like, it's been a very collaborative effort. Like Adam said, like, there's many different groups involved, many different people involved. And it's been great to see, like we've only been into this campaign for a week, and it's already been great to see the community engagement. We've had so many people, like our neighbors and people in the community, that have sent us text messages and Facebook messages saying, like, I want to be involved. What can I do? And, like, in the future, like, we are so happy to have those people. Right now, really, what we're looking for is donations.
Yeah.
I mean, in the future, we love to have different people who have different expertise to, you know, to build Explore Laurinville Incorporated, and also to help us with trail work.
So are you guys a not-for-profit, like officially?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But the donations are going through NCC for now?
Well, we're not registered as a...
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, we're not registered as a...
Which is nice to have NCC there.
We're not registered as a charity or nonprofit. It's just a nonprofit organization, but we're not registered.
Yeah.
And because of our affiliation with NCC, we just wanted to work with them. So the donations go through them.
Yeah.
And they can be done online, which is really simple, which is great to have.
And you can get a tax write-off.
Yeah, so anything over $20 gets a tax receipt, and you just automatically get it. Like, Leah and I made donations ourselves online, and you get an email with the receipt and everything. Like, it's really, really simple. And we've tried to plaster that link everywhere.
Yeah.
So no, I'm going to share it. I'm going to donate some. I meant to do it last night, but I'll donate some.
Not to worry.
NCC has really been like a lifesaver for us, because, like I said, there was like a push to get this done quickly.
Yeah.
And like I said, the three of us, we all have full-time jobs. None of us are like, this isn't our job.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's so nice to have NCC. They're already all set up to take donations.
Yeah.
They're set up to give
these campaigns before. Like,
that could get complicated in itself.
Exactly. And I was like, I don't want to be taking people's money because, like, I just don't want that responsibility. I'm not ready for it yet. So it's great that NCC has kind of stepped in and played that role for us.
Yeah.
We have had people approach us and say we want to donate, like, just to the Lighthouse project.
Yeah.
But NCC is setting aside. So, like, when you go to the link, it is a specific donation that will go just towards this campaign.
Yeah.
And there's also, if anyone's concerned, there's also a spot where it says, like, additional comments, and you can type in for the Lorneville Lighthouse or for the Musquash Head Lighthouse campaign. And they are, like,
just keeping it separated
for this.
Yeah.
And then there's an address if people want to mail a check if people want to donate, we'll find a way to. We'll find a way to gracefully accept your
cash and even log on and do it for them.
Yeah, accept your money. We will go to great lengths to accept your money. Do not worry.
Yeah.
But there are all kinds of ways for that. But like Leah said, the biggest thing right now is just getting the funds raised so that we can get things going. So and as people have probably seen, the Lighthouse is being worked on now. NCC has agreed to cover the costs so that it can be done because of that time constraint, as Leah said. So it's more kind of covering the costs after the fact so that we can get it done.
So because they're also a nonprofit organization. So like they don't, I mean, they have the money to do this, but they don't. So like, it's like, they were like, this has to be done. This is perfect timing. We have volunteers. We have people willing to, you know, professional contractors willing to donate their time and efforts.
It's
too good an offer. So they thankfully stepped forward because we were like scrounging and seeing what we could possibly do. So that's
why. So they're
actually
giving you a bit of a loan almost.
Essentially, because
yeah.
I mean, like, people are going to come down and see the lighthouse that's painted, and they're going to say, like, well, why do you need to raise money if it's already done?
Yeah.
But that's kind of like the story behind that, I guess.
Yeah. So it was, you know, when we had someone who had approached about maybe offering to pay for the paint, and someone offered to pay for the actual work to be done, our original understanding was it was just going to be painting the lighthouse and that kind of project, kind of forgetting about the massive involvement of the land transfer.
Yeah.
So it was a bigger project than we realized when we were just so focused on getting the lighthouse painted. So like Leah said, we were looking at first about even just paying for the materials ourselves, which was, you know.
We were like, can we just like scrounge up 10 grand and do it ourselves? It's like, it's kind of wild.
With a ladder and a paintbrush.
Yeah. So we did actually seriously look at that, which would have been wild to do. And I'm glad we didn't do that.
Remortgage our house to paint a lighthouse.
Yeah, just save it in this time frame. But it made sense to roll it into this larger project, and we'll just have this fundraising campaign and NCC set up for that. That's what they do nationally. They have access to national large donors too.
Yeah.
So they may have some donors that are from outside of the area, and we're going to go to all the local businesses, the industrial park. Like, there's lots of businesses in Lorneville that we hope that. And just general hikers, you know, there's the Spitlock Trail Facebook page has 2,500 people. Like, if everyone gave a couple dollars, that would go a massive way. And obviously your page has like 25,000, I think, or something crazy.
Yeah.
So just getting if people want to contribute or help, we'll take whatever kind of volunteer or money.
Is there any minimum donation amount on the website, or?
Pardon?
Any minimum donation?
No, I don't think so. If you want to give a dollar, give a dollar.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't give anything, you can come and do trail work someday or volunteer whatever. We're just, it's just about a community initiative to save the area, save the lighthouse, and so that people can continue to enjoy it, and no one needs to feel pressured to help or donate. But, you know, if someone wants to be involved, it doesn't always have to just be a financial contribution.
Oh, no, it's one of the nicest trails in the province, I'd say. And I've been on most of them.
Yeah. we're pretty happy with the area. It didn't, like Leah didn't have a grand master plan. You know, it was, can I get to the lighthouse with a hatchet and a dog? And now we're saving a lighthouse.
No, I think it's amazing that, I mean, when you're close to St. John, which is a huge population center, like Irving Nature Park's kind of overlooking St. John, so you don't get outside of the city.
Yeah.
But when you come here, as soon as you turn around the corner to Colson Cove, you're like, you've left the city behind.
And yeah.
That's like you can look down the coast and you really can't see any, like, kind of, you know, human life.
When I first hiked it, it reminded me of Grand Manan. We were just over Grand Manan last month, hiked around over there, and it's remote, and it's Bay of Fundy, and it's lots of views. It's full of views.
And that's part of the reason that we want to look after things, is that, you know, if we conserve and preserve the land, then it will remain wild. There'll be nothing built here. The 12 acres we have here, we're not doing anything with it. It will be left. Maybe we put up a picnic table.
Yeah.
But it's going to be left so that it can be wild for people to enjoy.
It's got a lighthouse.
Lighthouse. I mean, it's a beautiful day. You can almost basically see Nova Scotia, I think, if we look around the lighthouse. Yeah, we can. It's just, I don't know. I'm not from here, so I didn't grow up coming down here like Leah did, but this is my home, and I've pretty much fallen in love with this place.
Looking out of the water to the right towards Gooseberry Cove, almost everything that you see is Nature Conservancy.
Yeah.
So all this land is protected. So you can almost hope that, you know, in 15 years or 20 years or 30 years that the lighthouse will still be here and your view really won't change. And that's kind of the goal, because I've been coming here since I was a child, and really it looks the exact same as when I was a kid. Nothing's changed.
You can't see much along the coast.
And it's just, that's kind of special, especially in this day and age, with so much development.
It's so close to St. John.
Yeah.
That's the fascinating part.
And especially in our province that is so industrial. We live in a very industrial part of the province too. And so it's so nice. And like, just to come down here and know that those trees are always going to be there and it's always going to look like that.
The estuary itself is pretty fascinating.
It is.
I hike the 5-fathom hole trail. I didn't even plan it, but I hit it at low tide and the mud flats are just endless. Yeah. It's amazing.
So like Adam said, we would really love to see businesses in the community and people in the community step forward with donations to kind of take ownership of this area. Kind of going back to what I said before about like respecting and protecting an area.
Yeah.
It almost gives them like a sense of ownership and,
it's a sense of being a steward
of the area. And when I say community, I don't mean Lorneville. I mean the hiking community. I mean the birding community. I mean everybody that...
New Brunswick at large, basically.
Everybody who loves and uses this area. It would be so nice to see, like Adam said, even like small donations. And then they have that sense of, I helped preserve this area. I helped save this lighthouse. I helped build these trails.
Yeah.
Because that's what the money's going towards, is, you know, building these trails, doing work on these trails, building new trails and conserving this area. So it'd be so nice to have all these people that are stewards of this area.
Yeah.
And not saying you have to make a donation to be a steward of the area, like the person that picks up the granola bar wrapper that someone else left.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking ownership of this area and responsibility for it, and that's just really beautiful to see.
Yeah. And the more people that come to this area hiking and enjoying it, they're probably going to, you know, stop into some of the businesses in Lorneville and spend their money. So it kind of grows that community and everyone becomes involved. So do you want to go to check out the top of the lighthouse?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Watch your head and everything else. Do you want me to carry anything if you've got your thing?
No, I'm good now.
I mean, I wouldn't trust much of your gear either, so.
So do they have to take all the paint off of it before they prime it?
The thing about it being in such rough shape is there wasn't much paint left on it. It didn't require too much prep work.
So does any cement work need to be done, just kind of patch jobs?
So they patched all the way up through, and the stuff we're seeing on the deck here is more so from past repairs.
Yeah.
So eventually what will happen is we're gonna take the railing off and then just mount it to the surface rather than down through.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be done right now. The biggest thing is doing the patchwork to the concrete outside and then priming it and painting it and sealing it from the weather, and then everything will be fine.
So you put the red stripe back on?
Yeah, they'll put that back on.
It looks
like that. There's many ways to paint a lighthouse I've seen.
Yeah, we're just going to keep it the original classic white and red color.
Adam and I just did a tour of kind of the southern, from Digby over to Yarmouth.
Oh, okay.
Southern part of Nova Scotia,
and we kind of made
our tour. Went to all kinds of different lighthouses.
Oh, nice.
Kayaked to a couple of them. And you're right, there is 100 different ways. There's some with
numerous red stripes.
Yeah, some with lots of stripes, some with you know, more red than white. There's all kinds of variety. It was pretty neat.
Cecil had an idea. Should we like spice it up, maybe paint it with like a couple black stripes or... And he had a couple pictures of it looking really cool with some different colors.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to do so. Yeah, like where it's...
If we're going to be looking after it for a lot of years, it'll be need to be painted again.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want to make it too complicated.
Yeah, so just keep it simple and traditional and...
It's the same with trail building. Keep it simple so you don't have to come back in and...
Yeah, the more crazy you make it.
Yeah.
So it's quite a view.
Oh my God, it's beautiful. Oh, the moon and all, eh?
Well, just the lighthouse shadow.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Ever been to the top of the lighthouse?
I have, but I can't remember where it was. Oh, I can even see my own shadow on that. That is cool.
We never come down at this hour.
Well, we're usually in... I feel like we're usually
here. Yeah, we are.
Yeah, this gives you a really cool view.
Yeah, like the whole...
Yeah, because I never... When I came, I did Split Rock, and I got to here, and it just got too dark. I didn't do the rest, but...
Yeah.
So what's the story behind Troy's Trail? Why is it something called something different? Or was this kind of a second phase?
Yeah, it was kind of like an add-on, you know, after... So Split Rock Trail was done first, and then we just started looking at a map and saying, you know what, why not? Like...
How far can we go?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
We're in Maine.
Yeah. Show your passport.
Well, it's not a whole lot longer. Like, when you look at a map, it's quite parallel with the road, the lighthouse road. But yeah. I mean, obviously, like, the views you get here are so much beautiful than the dirt road. So we just kind of said, why not? And I had kind of started building it and working on it after my friend passed away. His name is Troy Carr, and he's from Lorneville. And we used to always just like walk out to the lighthouse with our dogs and kind of, you know, have like heart to heart life chats about where we were at in our lives and what we were going through and whatnot. So after he passed away, it was just kind of like a way for me to honor him and just kind of like connect with him. Like I would go to the, you know, the graveyard and see like the stone or whatever. And it just wasn't like, there was no, I just didn't get any kind of feeling there. And I just, this was like kind of a place where it's so beautiful and peaceful and, really kind of spiritual. And I could just come out and chat with him and kind of work through my grief as I clipped my way along the coast with my clippers and my hatchet. It was just kind of that. So, and it's nice because his family still lives in the community, and I know like his brother still lives here and he's hiked it, and it's just kind of a nice memory for everyone.
So it starts at Colson Cove, Split Rock here, and then to the lighthouse, then Troy's Trail goes down to Black Beach.
Yeah.
Then beyond Black Beach is the...
So on Beach. If you're standing at Black Beach and looking out to the water on your right, there's a 4-kilometer loop. That's the Nature Conservancy's
Black Tree Trail.
Yeah.
The Black Beach Trail.
Yeah.
And then way over there... Oh, yeah, I couldn't see where it would go, but the
5-fathom
hole would end in the Musquash Estuary, kind of over that corner of land.
Over on the
which
corner
is also
there.
NCC.
Yeah.
So there's much potential.
Which are nice trails, but I think this one's nicer.
Oh, well.
I won't tell them that.
We're biased, but it's just the nature of the land and the location. Like it's
the estuary is pretty cool with the mud flats and low tide. Yeah. It just goes on forever.
It's low tide now, so we'll eventually get to see it.
Well, I get like, we both do. Like it compliments all the time. Like, oh, the trail is so beautiful. The trail is so beautiful. And I'm like, well, it's not the trail that's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's what was already here. We just made it accessible. Yeah. That's all we did.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
It's the trail would be nice anywhere, but you know, any type of trail in this area would be stunning. I just can't believe how perfect the day is.
Yeah.
No, it's really nice.
So should we hike?
Yeah. The fundraising efforts are going to go to new signs, too.
Yeah.
And if people can stop stealing them, that would be great, too.
Oh, people are stealing them?
Oh, yes. I'll make you one.
Which I'm flattered, but...
Yeah.
I'll make you one if you want, but...
Is that why that one's up so high in the tree?
Yeah.
Yes. And then once I got it up there, I took the branches off to climb to get it. So that one has remained.
Grease the tree too.
Yeah.
Like one of those squirrel repellents.
Yeah, that's my father. My father does it with the squirrels and the bird feeder.
Well, when I first started, I was using a wood burner and like wood burning all the signs, which took forever.
Yeah.
So I'd wood burn all the letters and then I would varnish them and then they'd be on the tree for like 2 months and then someone would take it home. And it was like, oh, this is so time consuming.
Now, these ones are much easier to make.
So is that one a rotor?
No,
that one's just like just letters painted, that are stuck on.
Painted wooden letters that we painted separately and stuck on, but they don't weather well.
Yeah. So routering is like, and when you go to Williams Trail, you'll see that Ian's done beautiful signs, and that's kind of what we want to do.
That's
kind of what we want to do. All right there. I didn't realize it was such a cliff right there.
Yeah. You actually can come out to that point.
Yeah. And the fact that it's low tide, you get to see a bit more of the how the coast is.
Yeah, I like the way it comes out. Kind of comes around the corner where you can see the lighthouse. Like it's first you leave Coulson Cove, you go around the corner and you don't see St. John anymore, and then you come around this and start seeing the lighthouse. It's just the views are nice. And then you get all the crazy people climbing down in the crack over there.
We've never been down.
No, I mean,
we started down with a group of people, and then
Cecil was there actually, and he got down to the bottom and he was like, "What is this touching my leg? There's like a prickly bush or something." Anyway, they turned on the light and it was this great big porcupine.
Oh, really?
Oh
my god.
So I don't frequent
the cave. The porcupines are scary, but I don't want to touch one.
I don't want to touch my leg.
So some people like to go down backwards. I'll let you go next.
Yeah,
and some people like to go down forward, so whatever you're more comfortable.
I'll probably go forward, I think. So basically, the priming and painting is the key thing that needs to be done, the lighthouse.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's, since it's, I mean, the nature of the lighthouse is it's an exposed location, so.
Yeah.
It's the prime, the scraping that they did to prepare and fill in some of the cracks, and then priming it, and then it's two coats of this epoxy hardened paint that'll seal it.
And I was just wondering what that was.
And the goal is to seal it, like, yes, to make it look nice too, but it's to seal it from the weather and the elements. I mean, we're going to see how long it lasts. It's not like it'll last for life. It's such an exposed location. And then we'll work away and chip it away inside.
The inside get done. But
it's
not that, as pretty. It's not structurally
pretty. Yeah, it doesn't do anything for that. I mean, we're not necessarily going to be hosting parties. And, I mean, maybe we'll host tours or something.
Unless, like, technology-wise, it's pretty simple. It's just a power box and light.
Yeah, so. and DFO looks after the power, so we don't have to pay the power bill.
Oh, okay.
So they, the kind of the agreement is that we own and look after the lighthouse, the structure, all of that stuff. They look after the actual navigational parts of the light, the fog horn,
the
cell tower thing there, and the power and the actual functioning part of it. And
so are these all fog horn things, or what are these?
Don't know. I thought they were vents. They're vents because they go out.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so it's just probably vents for humidity and.
So where's the foghorn?
So the foghorn's actually down there on the ground.
Oh, okay.
And if the next level down, you see like a little camera.
Yeah.
And that's the fog kind of sensor.
Oh, really?
So
that was my next question. How does it know when it's fog?
Yeah, so on your way downstairs, you can look. There's a little kind of camera sensor thing. I mean, obviously I'm not well versed in this technology.
No.
So,
it's fascinating.
Someone else never read it. And then it just kind of trips some type of sensor and runs the power to the foghorn that's out on
them. Oh, is that what this thing, the white thing here?
Like that.
Oh, okay. It must just be able to, if it can't see the other shore or something, or if it, I don't know,
yeah,
that's weird.
I don't know what the,
or maybe it's
we should
a
try
laser.
To find it. It must have some type of,
might be a laser that kind
of
bounces back a certain way.
It's Impulse Physik Hamburg, some German sensor. So obviously years ago there would have been a lightkeeper here, there's a building here, and actually near where we parked there was several buildings.
Yeah.
And one of the buildings actually was taken and moved, and it's the building that the vet clinic in Grand Bay, that's
oh,
the
really?
Old lighthouse building. Still has a roof and everything.
That's cool. That's really cool.
And when you're down here and the foghorn goes off, it is loud.
Yeah, it's loud, yeah. I don't know where I was. I wasn't anywhere close to it, but I was close enough that it's annoyingly loud, but almost deafening here right here.
Yeah, we were camping last week in Briar Island off Digby.
Yeah.
And the foghorn went off, and there were actually two foghorns on the island, and they were alternating. So we would hear one and the other, and it was a bit of a sleepless night in the tent.
Much nicer to hear whales offshore and off Grand Manan. Easy to maintain the last couple of years, or is it hit and hard with blowdowns? Or
it was
storm. People will find people just move the trees if they can. Like we'll come through with a chainsaw and do some work.
So. Yeah, usually people work around it pretty quick.
Yeah, it doesn't take many people to go around the tree to find a little side path. We had a swinging chair here, but it didn't last well in the elements.
Oh.
But it was an amazing place to sit because the sun sets like right here.
Oh, yeah. It's nice.
Yeah, there's a geocache in there.
Oh, okay.
You see it like...
It was here quite before a trail of geocache. This trail was here.
Yeah, because I remember when I first came down here, I think when I hiked the Black Beach Trail, God knows how long ago, it was like 7 years ago or something. I remember thinking that there's basically a walk out the lighthouse and that was the trail, like the road was the trail.
Oh, okay.
I was surprised that there's nothing around it.
So this trail, like from here to the lighthouse, kind of existed, I mean it was super overgrown, but this would have been the trail that they used to bring supplies to the lighthouse.
Oh wow.
Ladder.
So oh, that's really cool.
So they would have brought boats in here at high tide.
Oh, that's amazing.
And brought their supplies in, and this would have been like a tram that would have had cables on it that they would, you know, wheel up their supplies.
That is really cool.
Yeah. So this kind of trail was always like here, and they would have a lighthouse, like a runner, which would be like probably a younger person that would, you know, run the supplies up and down.
Oh, there's a path going up there. Maybe.
Yeah, I think people have been coming around here.
Coming around. Yeah.
They'd be able to make their own little trails.
It's not ours anymore. It's everyone's.
No,
right?
It's the way. Yeah. She's like letting my daughter go to university. It's hard to let them go.
Yeah.
Why?
That's exactly it.
Great little trail though, eh? It's nice.
We honestly haven't been on either trail in months and months. So I have no idea what things might look like.
What we're gonna find, man.
Yeah. Yeah, because of COVID and I think how we're closing them and us kind of keeping our distance from the other ones.
I love the cliffs, eh? They're like the gray jagged rock cliffs. Yeah. It's really cool.
So, like the first inn that you'd see would be Black Beach, right, Leah? And is that Cheeseman's way over then? Yeah, it would be. 5,000 would be.
Like up around the corner there.
In there. It's just kind of like seeing your child after they've had a year or two of university and you haven't seen them. Same with the trails, like.
Wow, the cliffs are really nice here. I didn't realize it was that rugged over here.
Adam made me these shoes for Christmas 1 year.
Yeah.
And hiked them out here.
Like, here's what, your Christmas present.
Two days
go
before,
put them in the woods.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Two
and
days.
Then took her on a hike, and we got down to the point, and
we came down Boxing Day, didn't we?
Yeah. That was our Christmas because of being nurses.
Yeah, and we came down on Christmas, and he showed me these. Although one's missing a.
Yeah. I the piece in the garage I just could have painted. Cut it and sanded it.
Oh. It's a...
People like to post pictures with the chairs. It kind of took on a life of themselves, even though it's just kind of a...
What's the distance of Troy's Trail?
2.2. Well, this tree's still hanging on.
Oh, wow. About, like, 3 years?
Oh, our entire relationship. Nearly four.
No one's holding that on there.
There's no room for it to really go.
I'm here for the hike, not the interview.
Just a byproduct.
Yeah,
right?
This is my excuse to get a tour guide.
And this is always icy in the winter.
Is it very accessible in the winter, the trail at all?
Oh yeah, we do it 365. Most people do.
How far, they just come to basically the Colson Cove plowed or?
Yeah, there's usually enough people that drive right to Black Beach. So the road does get pretty worn down.
We also don't get that much snow this close to.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
But there's always icicles hanging off the whole,
that's cool.
Whole way of this. It's pretty neat, but also kind of dangerous because they're pretty massive.
It's almost
I was like, yeah, the trail has to go this way. So I spent so much time scouting
yeah.
trying to find, you know, the best spots.
It's a big
and
cliff.
When I found this spot, I was like, yeah, the trail is definitely going this way.
Yeah, it's one thing to actually make the trail, but it's probably just as much time, if not more, figuring out where it should go.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a lookout there, but it's really, really unsafe.
Yeah.
So I won't leave it there.
When was the last time you did Black Beach Trail?
Oh, 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Have they changed it any?
Yeah. I've made some changes.
Oh, really?
Yep, that makes it a little bit more scenic.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a loop that they added that you can cut off half the section too if you only want to do a smaller portion.
Nice.
For all these different memory flashbacks.
Me and my wife went out to Pokyok Park near Nakwik. Hiked the trail out there, and when we were leaving, she's like, this is where one of our first dates was. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I remember from our first time working on this section, we'd like bring in a full growler of beer and
half
a amount of pizza, just like all this stuff, and then tools. And then we just like eat and work, and we even had a Bluetooth speaker. And now it's like, what granola bar do you want? And it's a chainsaw full of oil.
Yeah.
So that's Black Beach that you can start to see right here.
Nice.
Like, yeah, things don't seem as steep anymore, Leah.
Everything's like sunk.
I don't know.
Leveled itself out, did it?
Yeah. We just haven't done it in so long.
Has it made it more kind of steps with the roots and stuff versus just a slant before, or is it just?
No, yeah. Just
well, it feels like it's more like steps. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just more worn away, so.
Yeah.
Wonder why that got moved that way.
I don't know. Maybe
no view.
Looks that way. Well, this is kind of all going up too. It used to point like that. Like this is like the Hebron Basin, like near there.
Yeah, because I remember looking out at that island from the end of the 5 fathom hole, I think.
Yeah.
There's just a mud flat pretty much all the way out. And I was thinking, can I walk across that mud all the way to that island?
You can.
Yeah.
You never, like, theoretically you can. You never make it.
Just up to your knees in mud.
Well, the bench is in decent shape.
This was all wood burned, but you can't even really see it anymore.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Yeah. Oh, that's for Troy there.
Yeah.
The first bridge and steps we've ever built. And this is a mess here.
Yeah, all these trees are here.
I didn't even pack my little hand towel. Yeah. First time ever.
Well, now we know what we have to put in the fix.
It's actually our friend just messaged me the other day and said, I'm sending you an updated cover page for the Split Rock Trail page asking for donations. She said, you did the best you could do in Microsoft Paint, but her job is doing that. So she sent me that thing in like 5 minutes and I was like, this is incredible.
Oh my God.
The lightning struck this tree.
Oh, that's really
at
cool.
At some point, there's like a spiral crack.
That is a big tree.
All the way up along.
This you is see spruce that big.
This is also one of those features that I was like, okay, trail's got to go by here. By Big Mama.
So you just wander around the woods looking for features to figure out the trail?
Pretty well.
It makes it really complicated to get a trail that, you know, makes sense to a random tree.
Yeah.
Luckily, she offered to do any other logos or designs or anything we need, so I think that's her contribution to this. Leah's actually been working on kind of a lighthouse logo, and you're fairly talented, so...
Well, I have no tech abilities.
No, but you're...
So, like, I could draw it, but then I would need someone to, like, actually do the computer design of it.
Yeah.
I haven't progressed past mastering Stickman, so...
That's even the podcast. I was like, damn it, I can't figure out how to get like royalty-free music, and I don't want to pay for anything right now, so I just picked up the ukulele and guitar and played some stuff and recorded it, and like 15 minutes later, I'm like, it's not perfect, but I don't care.
Well, we don't have that much work to do on this section, man. The biggest work's going to be up here. The mud bog at the beach. Oh my God, this is the worst it's ever been.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying that because we haven't been here. It's just this whole section needs to be rerouted if you haven't already gathered that.
Yeah. See, they've been doing work on it.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's a marker that way, but...
No, you go down there. This is where they moved it. Remember?
Yeah, I know, but I just imagine
I think it might be the old one.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You haven't taken it down.
You need to go this way.
Yeah.
You need to go up and kind of just, like... through
the
woods and
it got really marshy.
Right,
right.
But now they've gone this way and there's more
coastal.
And Gary would be the one in
charge of
that.
Yeah, Gary Hislop, if you know
him. I know the name. I don't think I've ever met him before.
Yeah,
but
he's the trail steward for this trail.
When I started building Split Rock Trail, because it was just me and I was the only one using it, and know, if I went away for a week, or if I didn't get to it for a week, stuff starts to grow so quickly.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of funny how it doesn't take much traffic to pat it down, but then it doesn't take much of a break for stuff to grow back up.
Yeah, no, I know.
So it was like I would have the trail cut, but then it was like every spring I was almost like starting all over again. So much stuff to grow up.
So what do you got, like a thinning saw kind of thing?
Or yeah, no? It's a, just a gas-powered trimmer that has the attachment that you put the grass cutter or a saw blade on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we usually bring both.
Yeah.
And then like both adapters, chainsaw, clippers, a bunch of fuel.
Yeah.
Like Ian did all of William's trail by hand, handsaw.
Oh, really?
No power tools at all.
So his last name's Williams, is that?
No, his last name's Langley.
Oh, okay.
He's actually from the West Side, or Grand Bay, actually. His family owns the pumpkin patch on the West Side.
Yeah, I mean.
Williams is the name, so he started building this trail, and some of it was private land.
Yeah.
So he approached them and talked to them about it. So Williams, from my understanding, is
okay,
the light, one of the lighthouse keepers.
Oh, person. Yeah. I remember reading that now.
It's the Mitchell family that owns the land.
Yeah.
So William would have been one of the lighthouse keepers. I think it's the people that live there now, I think it was their grandfather.
Okay.
That would have been a lighthouse keeper there.
Yeah, I was out there for the first time. I think that was last year too. Yeah, no, because I think I was. Yeah, I think it was last year the first time I drove down to that lighthouse. Maybe 2 years ago now, but
yeah.
I remember thinking, what a beautiful spot, and like, why is it, like, I'm always like, you see little trails going around the lighthouse, and I'm always like following them to the end to see if they keep going.
Yeah.
So this is the new cross cut that they put, so you can just come back this way and only do a short.
So we're at that junction now.
Yeah, so we'll just follow this way. I mean, you could cross here and go this way, but
yeah.
601, half dozen the other kind of way.
Yeah. How far is that? How far across is that? That's not very far.
No. Well, the scale is what?
Oh, right. 250 meters, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Probably less than 250 meters.
Not bad. I remember going to this. Look at it.
Tide going. It's coming in, is it? Oh, the breeze is nice.
Hey, one thing that's been good about COVID is that people have been able to really explore New Brunswick and the Atlantic Province. Obviously hiking is just kind of taking off like crazy.
Is it just starting to come in? Look at that swirl.
Yeah.
See how like the tide
weird,
coming
eh?
in is meeting the tide coming.
Well, there's the river coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see the muddy water coming out and the green water coming in.
Yeah.
My mom and I saw two moose cross right in front of us one day when we were down here. And,
yes, sir.
And we have never seen anything since. And I don't know if you've ever seen anything.
I've seen tons of moose down here.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I had never then. This is one of these.
Oh, turkey vultures. There must be something dead down in there.
Holy.
They're big birds.
We've been seeing them for the last week.
There's got to be something big down there dead.
Yeah, yeah, there's something. Yeah, because
those are massive.
There's that many.
Yeah.
All right, how many cars do you think? You got to guess.
13.
This time.
Saturday.
Oh, nice Saturday.
Well, it's like yeah, weekend. Long weekend too.
I don't know. Could be 20. Now, are we talking everywhere? We're not going down to Black Beach, but I mean.
No, I was just talking about this.
Just the Split Rock Trailhead.
Just this end.
I'll say 16.
I said 13. I'm going to stick with 13.
Do you go with one?
Yes.
Price is right rules. Yeah. Are you coming up with a number or are you going to count them?
What'd you say?
16.
She's waiting until she can see them over the horizon.
I'll say
18. Oh, 18. Going over.
Oh, no. I think I see 13 already.
Got even something about the sunshade to keep prepared. Are we all counting individually here?
That one's leaving, so he doesn't count. Oh, I'm over already.
11, 12,
Yeah, even Price is Right rules.
Is that including the car that was leaving?
No, I didn't count that. Oh,
okay. I count that one, so 20 altogether.
Yeah. Well, luckily no one blocked the gate, because that would have been a disaster.
Yeah. Happen quite often, does it, or?
It does.
Yeah.
Occasionally. The big thing right now is where they're working on the lighthouse.
Yeah.
They need to get down there and do the work, or they need to get out, right?
Yeah.
It hasn't been an issue. There was, someone had blocked it earlier in the week, but the construction crew was already in.
But like you said, we usually don't do this much trail work in the summer.
No.
We usually keep it towards the fall or even the winter. I personally really like doing trail work in the winter. It's nice and cold.
Yeah.
And
yeah. You control your heat better.
Yeah, and you can really see, like, you can sometimes cut a lot more because, like, the snow weighs stuff down, and you need to cut what's, you know, weighed down.
Right.
So, it's kind of nice.
You got everything that you
Yeah, no, that's all I need. That was perfect.
Well,
thank you very much.
You.
Yeah, great to meet you guys.
Anytime you're in the area, let us know, honestly.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll be talking as it kind of progresses, I guess.
Yeah, we'll keep you updated on how things go.
Thank you to Adam and Leah for taking me on a tour of the Musquash Lighthouse, a hike on Troy's Trail and Black Beach Trail. It was an amazing day and an amazing time to explore the trails and find out a bit about what they're working on. If you don't know already, my name's James Donald, the creator of Hiking MB and all of the media around Hiking MB and Hiking PEI and Hiking Maine. It's a bit of an obsession, but it is fun. It gets me out. Hope it helps get you out too. I just wanted to give you one more reminder before we go to please consider donating to the Musquash Lighthouse Project so there can continue in perpetuity to be amazing trails in that area close to St. John, and the lighthouse will continue to be a key part of that trail. It's an amazing spot, and there's some amazing people doing a lot of hard work there, and they could use your support. Until next time, hope to see you on the trail.